Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
So good, so kind, so merciful, so just.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, as we usually do, we look ahead to the readings for this Sunday, which is, in this Jubilee Year of Mercy, this is Divine Mercy Sunday, established by Pope John Paul before his death. This is the time, brothers and sisters, I've been speaking many times in the last few programs. I've been speaking about both growing in faith and then humbling ourselves to receive the mercy that God wants to give us. And often our pride gets in the way, or our blindness, our deafness. Sometimes our sin and our pride makes us blind and deaf. We think we see reality, but we don't. So in this program, as short as it is, I want to share with you a couple of things that I think are very, very important. The first reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. Many signs and wonders were done among the people at the hands of the apostles. They were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the others dared to join them, but the people esteemed them. Yet more than ever, believers in the Lord, great numbers of men and women were added to them. Thus they even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on one or another of them. A large number of people from the towns in the vicinity of Jerusalem also gathered, bringing the sick and those disturbed by unclean spirits, and they were all cured. Why were they cured? Because God has mercy. And because his disciples had finally, so to speak, come of age, and they really could be vessels of his mercy to others. Healing, forgiveness, reconciliation, all the things that lead to wholeness. In the responsorial psalm, cry out, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love is everlasting. His love is everlasting. I've been reading, obviously, a lot in this year of mercy. I've been reading more about divine mercy, and I came across a little booklet that is published by the Marian Helpers Center in Stockbridge, the Marian Press, Stockbridge, Massachusetts. Just a wonderful little book called Journey to Mercy. And this is something that's said in this book by the author. He says, the message of divine mercy is best remembered by A, B, C. A, B, C. A, ask for God's mercy. God wants us to approach him, repent of our sins, ask him to pour his mercy out upon us and upon the whole world. He tells us through the apostle of divine mercy, St. Faustina, I cannot punish even the greatest sinner. Listen to the words of Jesus. I cannot punish even the greatest sinner if he makes an appeal to my compassion. On the contrary, I justify him in my unfathomable and inscrutable mercy. I do not want to punish aching mankind. I desire to heal it, pressing it to my merciful heart. That's what Jesus says. So ask for God's mercy. That's the first thing. I've been talking about it for months. But this ABC acronym is very helpful. Ask for God's mercy. Beg it. He will give it to you. The second thing that the B of ABC, the B is be merciful to others. God wants us to receive his mercy and in turn be merciful to others by our actions, our words, our prayers. He wants us to extend love and forgiveness to others just as he does so to us. Actually, this isn't just something he wants. Rather, it is something he demands. Mercy is love that seeks to relieve the misery of others. Let me repeat that. Mercy is love that seeks to relieve the misery of others. It is an act of love poured out upon others to heal, to comfort, to console, and to forgive. Mercy is the love that God offers to us, and indeed, It is the love he demands from us for each other. If God is merciful to us, then we are called to be merciful to all others. I give you a new commandment. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Luke chapter 6, verse 36. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. God will extend great mercy to us, but he wants to use us, brothers and sisters. This is a call. Yes, it's a call to receive mercy, but it's also a call to be an instrument of God's mercy, a disciple, a servant of God's mercy. So receive from him all that you need. Hide nothing from him. Receive the mercy of God. Ask for that mercy and receive it. Secondly, be merciful to others. And the third one, completely trust in Jesus. That's the C. Jesus told St. Faustina, mankind will not have peace until it turns with trust to my mercy. Think of that. That's why Jesus tells St. Faustina to fight for the salvation of souls, exhorting them to trust in my mercy, as that is your task in this life and in the life to come. Brothers and sisters, God has so much to give us, and he's used this little sister to be such a vessel of his mercy. But don't you think he wants to use you and me? The Lord told St. Faustina, I have opened my heart as a living fountain of mercy. Let all souls draw life from it. Let them approach this sea of mercy with great trust. This comes from the diary, section 1520. On the cross, the fountain of my mercy was opened wide by the lance for all souls. No one have I excluded. Hear that. No one have I excluded. I am offering people a vessel with which they are to keep coming for graces to the fountain of mercy. That vessel is this image with the signature, Jesus, I trust in you. The graces of my mercy are drawn by means of one vessel only, and that is trust. The more a soul trusts, the more it will receive. The more a soul trusts, the more it will receive. Most dear to me is the soul that strongly believes in my goodness and has complete trust in me. I heap my confidence upon it and give it all it asks. Takes courage to totally trust like that. And yet, if we do, then we begin to experience in some most remarkable ways the power of his mercy for us, but even more through us to the lives of others. The Gospel of John for this Sunday, I'm skipping to that because of our time here. The Gospel of John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. You can imagine the chaos, at least internally, if not externally. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained. When we confess our sin, really confess our sin in the sacrament of reconciliation, our sins are wiped away. That's the mercy of God. Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. I wonder why he wasn't with them. I don't know, but I wonder. One of the 12 was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, we have seen the Lord. You can imagine. But he said to them, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and I put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. In other words, I've got to see. I don't have faith. I've got to see that this is true before I believe. God hears every word of every prayer we pray, or everything we say. A week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. And Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and he stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." They might have needed peace at that moment. Doors were locked, and Jesus is there suddenly in their midst. And he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." He allowed Thomas, in his incredulity, he allowed Thomas to actually kiss his wounds, to put his hand into the wounds, in his fingers, in his palms of his hand, and in his side. And Thomas responded, "My Lord and my God." Brothers and sisters, we're to learn from Thomas, not to question the Lord, but to learn from Thomas that God heard the cry of his heart. He knew his goodness, and he was willing to manifest his wounds, knowing that he could be ridiculed. But what does Thomas do? Thomas goes down on his knees and says, "My Lord and my God." "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Isn't that you and me? Isn't that us? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. I believe. Help my unbelief. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you, that's you, that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief, you may have life in his name. God wants us to have life, brothers and sisters, real life. Not just that our heart is beating, but he wants us to have real life, the fullness of life. The fullness of life in him. And that comes through faith. All we need to do is open our hearts and to say, "Lord, I do believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, strengthen my faith. Lord, help me." And then for heaven's sake, and I do say for heaven's sake, read the scriptures daily and go to the Eucharist. That's what feeds your faith. This is not just some mental gymnastics. God wants to infuse in you his love, his mercy, his goodness, his truth, his wisdom. He wants to impart to you everything that you don't even recognize you need many times. "Oh, I'm doing fine." And we're not. Not compared to what Christ wants to do with us and how he wants to use us as his disciples. So please receive the mercy of God. And then frequent the sacraments of the Eucharist. Read his word and let him make a strong and faithful disciple out of you for the glory of his name and to contribute to the salvation of all of us. God bless you. Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I want to encourage you, if you would like a free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, which we need right now, you can receive that by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or you can simply go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. May God bless you.